Okay, go ahead, Alex.
Can you see my screen?
I can see your screen. You're good.
All right. So, first thing is we're going to finish up our lab. And as you may recall, it was on calculating the surface gravity of the planets in our solar system. And the thing I don't remember is I thought we got down to Uranus and Neptune. Is that
Oh,
right?
hang on. I will share and let you know. I actually have everything on mine, so
Okay.
I'm going to steal the share from you.
Okay, that's fine.
Does everyone have their lab from last week with them? They probably are already done, but I just want to make sure everyone has their lab in front of them.
I
And
haven't.
excellent. And then somewhere on here is the astronomy lab. Where are my glasses? There it is. This is where we left off from last
Well, there
week.
you go.
Yeah. Okay, and Sylvia was going to give us the surface gravity and the relative gravity for Uranus and Neptune. Were you able to do finish that, Sylvia? Oh, you're on mute, hon. You're on mute.
I didn't remember the equation used to
It's the
do it.
one, on the sheet.
My question last time was basically how to use it because I didn't remember that part. I know the equation is there and I know what it
Yeah.
means. I don't know how to put the information into the equation.
Right. Okay. So we have this right here. And the first part is a gravitational constant. So that's given and that doesn't have to change. The only thing that we change are the mass and the radius. Okay. So do you see the mass goes in here? This is, I'm, let's see, I am going to write it. How about in red? Let's change this to red. This is the mass which we have on our sheet. And this is the radius which is on our sheet. So this is our mass, which we put into that formula, and this is our radius. So to do this, we just have to remember that we put so your mass, let's walk through one of these with you. So your mass for the first one is 8.681 times 10 to the 25th. So we go, yeah. And then on the bottom, it's 25, 360,000. Which is the same as 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 2.536 times 10 to the 7th. And this is squared. So you have it circled here. It's squared. So you have to square. So you multiply the first times the second and divide it by the square of the bottom. Do you have a calculator?
Yep. Could you lift it up a little bit? I can't really see it.
Which this part?
Yeah, just that part. I couldn't see that.
Okay. And Alex, do you have the answers in front of you so you can see what the answers are and make sure that we get the right answers?
Yeah, what planet are you working on?
Uranus and Neptune.
Yeah, I got it.
You dropped it down again.
Oh, sorry. You can write the... You have this sheet in front of you, right? So you can write all this part down?
I have the basic information. I'll just write the structure. So mass was the first one on the... was the one right after, it was divided by radius?
Squared. And it's given, like, all of that is given and defined. Like, this is the formula. And this is how we write it. Yeah. And you have this sheet printed out, yes?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll be right back. There's a dog squeaking somewhere. Someone's trapped somewhere. I'll be right back.
She's right by my door.
Oh.
Do you really want in here, Libby?
She says, let her in or she's going to squeak continuously at you.
I don't. Well, we'll find out what she wants here in a minute.
All right. So it was the base number times mass over radius squared.
Mm-hmm.
Third number times mass. Or maybe it didn't. Hold on, I think I messed up. So let me just try again.
Libby, stop squeaking.
Okay, I'm just going to calculate these two.
This one's for Uranus, right?
Yeah.
Cool. Just checking.
Do you have an answer for us?
I think it says 9.008, but like 9 basically.
I got 9.19.
Huh.
For the surface gravity?
Yeah.
It's 9.01.
Oh, weird. I must have typed something wrong. Okay, 9.
If I round mine up, it's 9.01.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, and then you have to do the relative gravity to Earth, and what do you get when you make that? If 9.8 up here, I'm going to put this in blue, this is Earth, so you need to divide yours by Earth and tell me what percentage of Earth it represents.
I need to divide mine by Earth's, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right, just checking. All right. 1 over 91%.
Yeah, it's 92.
I got 92%. Yeah. If you round. I
forgot to round.
Yep. Yeah. And then do you have a number for Neptune yet?
Yeah, well, I have the Neptune's number. I haven't calculated that one yet.
Okay.
Let me do that now.
Uh, 11.3.
That's what I got. Yep.
What 12%?
115%.
Yeah.
Oh, that's I kept reading it wrong.
Yeah, because when you get very confusing. Yeah, or 1.15. Yeah, that you to turn it to a percent, you have to multiply by 100. Okay, so now our numbers are in.
Okay.
So our hypotheses were either there are no other planets with the same gravity as Earth, which seems to be true, or gravity is not proportional to the planetary radius. Who chose number one? Raise your hand if you chose number one. Okay, both of you chose number one. Okay, so what is your conclusion then? Liam, what is your conclusion?
There is not any other planets the same gravity as Earth.
But two or three are close. What are the three? Yeah, I would say it looks like there's three that are kind of close. Which three are the closest?
Venus, Uranus, and Saturn.
I might even say Saturn, Uranus, and Neptune even, but or all four of them. So if that was your hypothesis, then your conclusion would be maybe something like, while no planets have the same gravity as Earth, gravity the closest, oh, you could say the closest one even. What would the closest one be? I guess it would be
Uranus. The closest one would be Uranus, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks like it.
And Sylvia, just to be real clear, you need to have all of this filled out so you get credit, since you're trying to get this for credit.
Mm-hmm.
And so no one had gravity is not proportional to planetary radius. I'm just going to go over that just in case Jeffrey had that one. I mean, I'm sure his dad can help him with it too. But for the people that had, which was me, gravity is not proportional to the planetary radius, I'm going to say that is true. Gravity is not proportional to the planet's radius. And we can see that because we can see that if it was proportional to the, oh, maybe it is. Wait, am I aligning this up wrong? No, because
it looks like it is based on these numbers.
No, 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 because look, if you had...
Oh, no, it isn't.
No, because look at Saturn is has twice the radius of Neptune. Neptune.
But the same surface gravity. Yep.
But the same surface gravity.
So, yes.
So it's not taking into account density of the planet, I would say.
Yeah. Yes, it's the mass that is driving the gravity number, not the radius of the object.
Yeah, and if you wanted to do more, you could say, yeah. The mass, I would say it's probably the density, which has to deal more with the...
Well, it's mass, right?
Yeah. Yeah, but density. I mean, I think that if you compare density, I mean, we could do that, but in another time. Yeah. I would compare density myself. I would run out another column and do density and see if density had any relationship more than mass even. Anyway. That is the conclusion to our lab one surface gravity. Feel free to do more work if you want to. I'm going to unshare at this point.
Okay.
Okay, it's up to you, Alex.
Okay. Is Naomi around?
Have no idea.
Can you text her?
Yes.
To retrieve her retriever?
Yes. I will go run Libby down to her. She probably has to go to the bathroom. I'll take Libby out. You can continue with today's lecture.
Okay. So let's do this. Now you're busted. And get this. Okay, let me know when you can see my screen.
I can see it.
Okay. So today we're going to start talking about the planets. Typically this takes a couple of sessions. So we'll start from the outermost planet and work our way towards the sun.
Behind the copy is almost...
So, just to review the definition of a planet, and this is the official International Astronomical Union definition, it must orbit a star. It must be big enough to have enough gravity to force it into a spherical shape. So, what that means practically, is that the planet will have to be about 3,000 miles in diameter or larger. Well, I guess it isn't really a size thing, it's a mass thing. So you have to have enough mass to force the celestial body to crush itself into a sphere, as opposed to just a lumpy rock. The third requirement for being a planet is it must be big enough that its gravity has cleared away other objects of similar size in its orbit around the sun. I think Troy at Goldendale had a really nice term for that called gravitational dominance. So that means that there isn't anything in the orbital path of the planet that affects how that planet moves. That planet is the gravity boss. So, formation of planets. Have a mess here in just a sec. So we talked about this a little bit earlier, but we'll review it again real quickly. Solar systems generally start out as protoplanetary disks, which are basically spinning disks of hot gas and dust, drawn from what is usually a nebula. The gases condense into either stars or gas giants, and gas giants would be Jupiter and Saturn. Dust and rocks and things that are not gas basically coalesce into planets and asteroids. The heavier bodies, or more precisely, more dense bodies, tend to move closer to the star and thus form planets with rocky cores. So examples of planets with rocky cores in our solar system are Mercury, Venus, Earth, and Mars. The solar wind coming from the star, in our case the sun, tends to push gases outward towards the outside of the protoplanetary disk. And that results in the formation of gas giants and ice giants. So gas giants being Saturn, Neptune, the ice giants being Saturn and Jupiter are the gas giants. The ice giants are Neptune and Uranus. Any questions on that? Does that all sort of make sense? Okay. So we're going to start with Neptune. Neptune is the outermost planet of our solar system. It is a distance of 30 astronomical units, AU. Anytime you see AU in astronomy, it means astronomical units. Who remembers how big an astronomical unit is? Go ahead, Sylvia.
It's the distance between the sun and the earth,
basically. That is correct. So Neptune is 30 times further away from the sun than we are. It has an orbital period of 165 years. So it takes...
Hey, Alex?
Yeah?
You're still on slide one. Do you need to be on a different slide?
Am I?
Yes.
That's odd.
Are you in slideshow?
I wonder if I have two PowerPoints running. That looks like what's happening. Hang on. Oh, yes, I see. I see what happened. Let me grab the correct screen here. Okay. Now what do you see?
Overview.
That's the right one. Probably. There we go. So this is the formation of planet slide. This happens to be a protoplanetary disk from far away. This, I believe, is we'll have to look this up when we look at exoplanets. But this is this particular object is a disk of gas and dust that is forming a solar system. And these dark tracks are actually the orbits of planets that are beginning to form. And then this little hot guy in the middle is going to be their sun. Okay, Neptune. 30 times farther away from the sun than we are. It has an orbital period of 165 years. Which means that it takes 165 of our Earth years for it to make it around the sun one time. Its radius is 24,000 kilometers. And its mass is... I should have put these in Earth masses. So this is 1.0243 times 10 to the 26 kilograms. It is not as the heaviest planet, but it is heavier than the rocky inner planets. The surface temperature on Neptune is minus 375 degrees Fahrenheit. It has 14 moons. Its actual internal structure is not completely known. The data we get from probes and observations from Earth is that it is likely a hydrogen-helium atmosphere around a... well, this is basically a big ball of ice. It's made from water, frozen ammonia, and methane. And then there is possibly, this hasn't been proven yet, a rocky core in the very center. One of it has its own ring system. It's not very easy to image, but it's been detected by probes. And one of the more interesting things about Neptune is that it is the parent of the moon Triton. And Triton, as we discussed, is a planet with a lot of potential for supporting organic compounds and possibly life, although it is very, very cold out there. Any questions about Neptune? Uranus is the next closest, planet. This image is from Voyager, and it is from about 1980. So we haven't sent any probes out there in quite a long time. Uranus just was in opposition to Earth two nights ago, which means that it's the closest it would be to Earth relatively in its current orbit. Unfortunately, the sky was not, we didn't have clear skies and I couldn't get the telescope set up, so I wasn't able to look at it. In a telescope of moderate power, it appears to be a blue non-twinkling star. It's kind of cool. Distance from the sun is about 20 astronomical units, so 20 times further away from the sun. It has a shorter orbital period than Neptune, which is 84 years. The radius is actually very close to Neptune's. They are almost the exact same diameter. However, Uranus is a much lower mass. Temperature on Uranus is about an average temperature of about negative 357 degrees Fahrenheit. It has 27 moons. Most interesting about Uranus is that it is not actually rotating vertically, unlike the other planets in the solar system. It spins on its side, rotated about 97.7 degrees. So if you were to draw a line through the axis of Earth, how Earth spins, it would look something like this. If you were to do that through Uranus, it would be something like this. It's almost completely on its side. Which is a little bit weird. It suggests that at some point in its history, Uranus encountered another object and there was a significant collision which knocked it over on its side. Another thing that suggests a collision is the magnetic field axis is actually not lined up with the rotation of the planet. It's at about 60 degrees, and so like about like this. The third thing that suggests a collision is that Uranus is the only planet in the solar system that orbits the opposite direction of all the other planets. So that's a retrograde orbit. Uranus does have a ring system. It is more or less perpendicular to its axis of spin. I don't have any good images of it. But it has been detected in, I want to say James Webb has an image of it, but I'll go look. It's either Uranus or Neptune has recently been imaged by James Webb. Any questions on Uranus? Oh, and then the other thing is this photo is actually to scale. So Earth is about, or Uranus is about, I want to say 3 Earths in diameter. This is Saturn. I think we've all actually seen Saturn. This was taken from the Cassini probe in the late 80s. Cassini was a pretty big probe sent to Saturn, where it also carried a probe called Huygens, which was sent to Titan to try to get some data on Titan. So this is a pretty close and detailed image of Saturn. You can see the usual rings. These are rings A through D, I believe. It's kind of hard to keep them straight. The path of these rings is kind of cleaned up by things called shepherd moons, and we'll talk about those later. But basically, there's a moon inside this ring system that keeps this little path clear and makes a nice, well-defined ring system. If you look really carefully at the top, you can see that at the North Pole, there is a thing that looks like a hexagon, which kind of baffled people for a while. But the current theory is that this is actually a system of cyclones. So each one of these nodes is actually a spinning vortex. And there actually is a similar system on Earth called the polar vortex. It's not as well-defined. The high definition on Saturn is likely due to the fact that the wind speed in the upper atmosphere is around 400 miles an hour. So those high winds are making a lot of these atmospheric details kind of pop out. Saturn's about 9.5 astronomical units away from the sun. It orbits every 29.5 years. Its radius is 58 kilometers, so it's about twice the diameter of Uranus. It is a fairly massive planet at 5.6 times 10 to the 24. It's not as cold as Uranus, but it's still very cold at minus 314 degrees Fahrenheit. Who remembers what freezing is in Fahrenheit? Minus 32. So this is 10 times colder than it takes to freeze water. Saturn is the current record holder for a number of moons in our solar system.
Alex,
yeah.
isn't freezing plus 32?
Oh yeah, you're right. You're such a math person. Anyway.
Come on, kids, keep them honest. You know it's 32 degrees.
Fahrenheit. Yeah. Fahrenheit. Yeah, so this is still super cold. And the problem with that, of course, is that that pretty much rules it out as a, well, as life as we know it at the surface. 82 moons, one of which is Titan, which we've talked about. Titan is a moon that has an icy crust with possibly a liquid ocean mantle around an ice core. The ring system on Saturn is pretty complicated. It's basically debris from impacts of moons. They believe that sometimes moons collide, and when they do, they break up into the dust that forms these rings. The thickness is not, they're not very thick, actually. They're, I want to say, only a few hundred feet thick. And the reason we can see them is because of the light reflecting off of the dust particles. This image is actually of Saturn. This was taken again from Cassini, but from the far side of the planet, so that the sun is exactly behind Saturn. And what you can see is not only the traditional A through E ring system going out here, but you can see the EE system, which is this very faint, super thin ring, and the F system. So these actually, before Cassini got there, had not been imaged. And this tiny, tiny, tiny blue dot at the very head of the arrow is, guess what that is? Whoops. It is not a, it's not a mistake. It is the Earth. So that is what the Earth looks like from Saturn. Okay, the next planet. Oh, are there any questions on Saturn? Okay, next planet is Jupiter. Jupiter is the closest gas giant to us and the sun. It's 5.2 astronomical units from the sun. It has an orbital period of about 12 years. Didn't put it on, has a wicked fast rotation of about 10 hours. So a day on Jupiter is only 10 hours long. Its orbital period is 12 years. The radius is 66,000 kilometers, making it the largest of the planets. It has a pretty, it is the, yeah, so I converted this. That's why it looks so weird. So the mass is actually 1.8 times 10 to the 26th. So it's the heaviest planet. There is a way of looking at Jupiter as a failed star. Does anybody know why Jupiter didn't turn into a star? Because it's basically hydrogen. It's all hydrogen and helium.
I have a complete guess onto why Jupiter is a failed star, sure. And it got hit by a rock.
That's how everything is.
It's been hit by lots of rocks, actually. No, they believe that Jupiter would have been a star if it was more massive. And it needs about, I believe it's 10 times more hydrogen to have enough mass to have a chance at collapsing into a fusion reaction. That's a good guess. As a matter of fact, Jupiter was hit by a large string of asteroids in the 90s called Shoemaker-Levy, and it was 21 separate impacts, and was the first time astronomers from Earth were actually able to witness objects hitting another planet. Temperature on Jupiter is still pretty cold, 262 degrees below zero Fahrenheit. It almost has as many moons as Saturn, but not quite. And of course, it has the famous Galilean moons, which are easily observable from Earth. There's quite a bit of debate about the composition of Jupiter. The current thinking is that it is what's called metallic hydrogen, which is basically hydrogen that's so cold that it's liquid. But the real question is how big is that core? And we really don't have a good understanding of the composition of the internal composition of Jupiter. We've got a pretty good understanding of what these clouds are made out of. This is predominantly hydrogen and helium with some nitrogen and some methane. Jupiter has a ring system, I think I have an image of, and it also has the largest moon in the solar system, which is Ganymede. And for some reason, I skipped Ganymede in the slide on the moons, but Ganymede actually is the largest, possibly the largest collection of water in the solar system. It also is a moon consisting of an ice crust with a liquid water mantle around some kind of ice, probably methane ice. This image is pretty cool. This is not your typical image of Jupiter. This is, in fact, the South Pole of Jupiter. And this was taken with Juno, which is a probe that's currently in what's called the polar orbit. So what does that mean? Well, that means that it basically goes over the top and the bottom of the planet every, I don't know how often the orbital period is, but it's basically going over the top and under the bottom as opposed to around the equator. Any guesses as to what these round things are?
Have guesses? Guess something.
Like patches of other elements, maybe?
These are storms. So this particular guy, this white one, is one that's happening at a fairly high altitude, or more precisely, the cloud tops are at a fairly high altitude. And these darker ones are at a lower altitude. Then I don't see any on here. Sometimes after Jupiter's been hit by an asteroid, there'll be like a dark patch like this thing right here. Although I don't know if that's what this is. But when we talk about Shoemaker-Levy again, we'll have some images of Jupiter after it's been hit by asteroids. It's kind of cool. Oh yeah, this is the one I was looking for. Okay. So Jupiter has a fairly significant magnetic field. And what that means is that as charged particles come from the sun and collide with that magnetic field, it creates these fairly large aurora. So on Jupiter, there's a southern aurora and a northern aurora. And these features are hundreds of kilometers above this atmospheric cloud top. So these are very large fields of electromagnetic energy. This image was taken by James Webb, It was taken with three different cameras and then composited together into one image. The light spots, the super bright spots here, are the infrared light being reflected from high cloud tops on the great red spot. That's what this guy is. And then these other bright features are super high altitude clouds. The darker features are cloud bands at lower altitudes. One of the things that this image pulled out that we haven't seen before is this super high layer of atmosphere, this haze. So previously we had believed that basically over here was the top of the atmosphere, but from this James Webb image, we can see that there's atmosphere even higher than what we see on the left side. Now, what's in that atmosphere, we're not sure yet, and why there's this, you know, separation, which would be quite a few miles, again, probably tens, if not hundreds of miles. We don't know why that is yet. Jupiter has a ring system. I can't remember what probe it was detected by, but you can actually see it in this this James Webb image. And it's really one system. I don't know if you can hardly see it, but it's got some depth to it. It's one set of rings. Adrastea is one of the smaller moons. Amalthea is one of the smaller moons. This bright ray of light is coming from Io, which is over here. They cropped it out of this image. And then you'll see these weird kind of cross X artifacts at the top and the bottom. Those are artifacts from the camera. Let's see. Oh, right. The reason why the magnetic field is of interest is many people believe that suggests that Jupiter does have a liquid core as opposed to a solid rocky core. Oh, and the other fun fact is this great red spot is about 1.3 times the size of Earth. So you could put Earth in that and not cover it up. Any questions on Jupiter so far? Okay. Now this feature is peculiar only to Jupiter so far. We know of no other planets with moons that have this relationship. But the moon Io, which is also one of the Galileo moons, I think we've seen it in the telescope. It's kind of hard to pick out when you're just looking at the planet. But Io is the closest of the moons to Jupiter. And it also, for some reason we don't really know, has its own magnetic field. And so when Jupiter is spinning super fast, once every 10 hours, it basically sweeps over Io. And at the moment that happens, it creates this what's called a magnetic flux tube. And what this tube is a formation that is joining Jupiter and Io, and it is full of supercharged particles. So these particles would be warmer than the surrounding area. Any questions on the flux tube? I just think it's super cool. Okay. So our next planet, I should put in a slide here about the asteroid belt, but between Jupiter and Mars, there is a a space where it's not a discrete belt like rings, but it is the area in our solar system that has the highest concentration of asteroids. It's called the asteroid belt. We were all taught that it was a pretty well-defined line, but it's really more of an asteroid cloud. Nobody is really sure why it happened to form between Jupiter and Mars or what its formation was. One of the theories was that it was a planet that broke up, but we don't know for sure. So on this side of the asteroid belt, on the sun side, is the first of what are called the terrestrial planets. So the terrestrial planets are Mars, Earth, Venus, and Mercury. They are all rocky as opposed to gaseous or icy. And they all have rocky cores. So Mars is 1.5 astronomical units away from the sun. It's only half again as far away as we are. It has an orbital period of 12 years. Radius is about 3,000 kilometers, which is about half the size of Earth's. Its mass is 6.14 times 10 to the 23rd, meaning its gravity will be about a third of Earth. So one of the things that's interesting about Mars is its surface temperature is actually not too far off of Earth's. The average temperature is minus 80 degrees Fahrenheit, but at the equator and at very, very, very low altitudes, temperatures will get as high as, I want to say, 30 degrees Fahrenheit. So still below freezing, but considerably warmer than Jupiter. And at a temperature where, in theory, if you had enough energy, you could make water from ice. Unlike the gas giants on the other side of the asteroid belt, the terrestrial planets typically do not have many moons. Mars only has two. They're quite small. Their names are Deimos and Phobos.
I have a question, Alex.
What?
You said you could make water from ice, but do we know that their ice is made up of water?
Yeah, there is water ice on Mars.
So it's okay.
You can't see it in this image. So Mars is also at opposition right now. It is super close to us. If you get a chance over the next few nights, go out and look at the moon, and you will see this super bright dot. That looks, it's bright enough to be a star, but it's actually Mars. And I'm going to try to get the telescope on it. Mars is kind of a tricky target because it's super small compared to Jupiter. But if you get the right viewing conditions and you can get the telescope set up correctly, you will be able to see white patches on Mars. And those are polar ice caps made out of for real water ice. Let's see, where are we at? We have enough time to do Earth. So this is Earth. We all live here, so we know a lot about it. Its orbital period is 1 year. It's one astronomical unit from the sun. Its radius is 6,378 kilometers. And its mass is 5.9 times 10 to the 24 kilograms. It is not the densest planet and certainly not the heaviest, certainly not the largest. However, it does have surface temperatures averaging at 56 degrees Fahrenheit, which means there are large bodies of liquid water on its surface. which also means that it is the only planet in our solar system that can support water-based life forms without intervention. As you can see, it has an atmosphere, fairly complex weather system that's not really that well understood, obviously. It has only one moon, and that moon is probably formed from a collision, but we'll talk about that when we do our slide on the moon. But as far as we know, Earth is also super unique in that it is the only planet with life that we know of, certainly in our solar system and possibly beyond. So that's about all we have time for. Are there any questions on any of the planets? Okie dokie. Okay, wait, think of...
go ahead, Alex.
Think of good questions for next week's Kahoot, and I'll just add them on to the one that I had started.
Okay, I haven't got a question on Kahoot from Liam or Sylvia yet, so I'm just going to say, Liam and Sylvia, please turn in a Kahoot question based on something that you've learned that you thought was interesting.
And remember, if you turn it in, you'll know the answer.
Yeah, so you'll get a higher score.
Okay.
Have a great day, guys. Oh, yep. And one other thing before we go, and that's about our next field trip, which was supposed to be today, but clearly wasn't today because today is a holiday and all places that, oops, am I off video? The only places video. That were, the no place that we want to go to is open because it's a holiday. So we're going to try to have the first Friday in December be our next field trip. We are going to aim at having it at be the planetarium at University of Washington. It is competitive to get in there. We're going to hope that hopefully a lot of people that aren't schools won't want to be there the first Friday in December, and then we'll easily get enough seats for everybody. More on that later. I won't be able to tell you before Sunday, before the actual possible field trip, sadly. Anyway, that being said, we will see you next week, and then we're off for Thanksgiving, and then theoretically, our next week, we will be at University of Washington. More to come. Have a great week. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.